You have to remember what Pablo Picasso said in the early 1900s. He said, good artists copy, great artists steal. The process of you shadowing somebody who knows how to do something is the process of stealing ethically. You're not stealing in a sneaky way because they know you're learning from them because they're taking you under their wing. So you want to make more money? Go find somebody making more money than you and shadow under them. So welcome to the show. What do you do when you don't know what to do in life? What do you do when you don't know how to make any money? What do you do when you feel lost? Let's talk about it. Today's daily diary podcast, whatever you want to call it. I'm still here in Manhattan, and I got this Instagram message from a follower that I've never met before, Ash Tucky. And she says, hello, Ty, what do you do when you don't know what you're good at or aren't good at anything in particular? I feel like I'd be a horrible business owner, but I want to earn money, lots of it, and I want to love what I do. So, well, she's got one thing clear there. Wants to earn lots of money and wants to love what they do. That's a good combo. I'd reverse the priority order. Love what you want to do. And some things make more money than others, but you can make plenty of money with just about anything. Even the things that people tell their kids you can't make money at, like art, music, fashion, there's still money in them. You just got to think creatively. Here's my answer to her today at 12:34 p.m. I said, Ash, you have to go shadow / apprentice under someone who is really good at something, ideally for a year or more. That's what I did. That person's way of thinking and skills slowly will rub off on you. So let's talk about how common of sense this is and why it's no longer followed. Because for thousands of years of civilization, this is the way people learned. Like, you wanted to learn how to make shoes, your dad was a shoemaker. And that's why people's last name is still Shoemaker. Or their last name is, you know, Smithson, because they were a son of a smith, a blacksmith. Now, fast forward to today, there was a structural shift in the world. Now, you could trace it to many things. It's probably traced to war. World War II was a bigger structural change in the world than you can imagine. My grandma lived through World War II. She's born in Germany. Her family's from Berlin. And it's wild because she goes, well, she never overtly said this, but growing up, I was kind of raised by my grandma. My dad was in prison when I was born. My mom was a single mom, so she had my grandma babysit a lot and left me with my grandma while my mom went to work. And my grandma, I realized at some point in my life, every single day thought about World War II. I mean, every day of her life. And this is 50 years after World War II was over. She still thought about it. That's how cataclysmic it was. A lot of our family got killed in the bombs that America dropped on Berlin, on my grandma's house. And my grandma's family was fairly wealthy. They weren't anymore after World War II because of the bombings and so on. And my grandma's brother was killed in the war. He was a soldier. He was shot in the stomach by the Russians. And so, why am I telling you this? What does this have to do with this? Well, I'm giving you a background to how we got to where we are today and how it affects you. Pre-World War II, the world was still very rural. People lived in the countryside. People grew up with their mom and dad. Following World War II, about a quarter of a billion people, or 25% of the world almost, is somehow affected. Either someone's killed. But more than that, people moved. You had to move. My grandma had to leave Berlin, and she came to the United States. So when there's a mass exodus and mass movement and migration, what happens? Well, people oftentimes move to big cities, and families were broken up, and small towns were broken up. So what starts happening, and this isn't just World War II, I'm just giving you kind of a data point. What happens is all of a sudden, people don't have their family. They don't have the traditions that have gone on for thousands of years of how to learn stuff. So out of that rose modern institutions. There was institutions before, there was universities before, but not at the scale that they were now. The world became more industrial also because of World War II. More factories were built. A large rise in economic growth. America became extremely wealthy after World War II. The war engine that built the Jeeps and the airplanes, all that factory was still there after the war's over in the mid-1940s. And so people went to work and made more money. And the 50s came and there was affluence. And the 60s came and a lot of kids were born. So all of a sudden, how do you educate all these kids when you're in the city, when you're working in a factory? You send them to college. And college had lots of good things. At the beginning, if you went to college, guess what? You were unique. You had 1970. If you had a college degree, I mean, most people didn't. You were the first wave of people. So all of a sudden you can get a job and it's a very prestigious thing. Now, fast forward to today, we no longer learn by shadowing. We no longer learn by apprenticing. Although some things like the medical, to become a medical doctor, my cousin's becoming a doctor, you do a residency, which is actually really smart that they do that. It's just they don't do that in other fields. If you're learning art history, they don't send you to live in Egypt for 4 years at the university. They send you to a classroom to study Egyptology as opposed to send you to the pyramids to shadow under an archaeologist who is digging around the pyramids. That's how you learn. You shadow, you apprentice. But you needed the factory cookie cutter setting because all these people were now flooding universities because at first it was a great way to get a job. It made you stand out. You made a significantly higher earning. It wasn't that expensive. Fast forward to today, small colleges you've never heard of, private colleges, are literally $42,000 a year. There's a Sousa Pacific in California. I always see their billboard when I land at LAX. And I'm going, who pays $42,000 a year to get a Sousa Pacific degree? Apparently people do. Not picking on that college, but I'm just saying it's absurd. Okay? To get an undergraduate degree, you're much better off to go shadow under somebody.
Hi, I'm Arusha Pieris, host of a new podcast called Investing with IBD. Here are a few snippets from the conversations that we're having. Facebook, you know, it's coming back. I was really treating it as a counter trend kind of stock. You have these really fast moving stocks. You want to have a little bit slower moving stocks, yeah, also definitely, in your portfolio.
What Bill observed after sitting through many market corrections is that the market will come down, but you need to wait a few days and see if there's going to be continued power. And that's where he came up with the follow-through day concept.
One of the most interesting things is, you know, utilities have actually been very, very strong over the last 52 weeks. The work that we've done on yield curve inversion suggests that after the yield curve inverts, over the next year, utility performance is actually not that good.
Come join the conversation on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Pick a business owner, spend a year shadowing under them or multiple ones. That's what I did. I went when I wanted to learn, you know, food production. My first business is grass-fed organic, food production. I went and I lived in New Zealand with Gary Townsend, and I shadowed him for 3 months or something like that. I don't remember how many months. I wanted to learn about, you know, something called permaculture, which is a way of designing landscape systems and things. And food production systems. I went and lived with the founder, Bill Mollison. I went there, not for long, but I flew and drove across Tasmania, Australia. And I shadowed there. And I lived with Joel Salatin for 2 years. And I went and lived with the Amish for 2.5 years to learn how to be happy because the Amish have 500% lower rates of depression, according to a UCLA study by what's the guy's name? I forget. It's slipping my mind right now. Jared Diamond, who won a Pulitzer Prize for his research in guns, germs, and steel. So I went to learn to be happy. I shadowed them. So this formula of getting outside of the mass factory education system and going to shadow directly under people never stops working, by the way. I posted a video on YouTube, about how Kobe Bryant virtually shadowed Michael Jordan. He watched every video, practiced every move. He never met Michael Jordan when he was growing up, per se, to shadow under him, but he virtually shadowed him, and he became one of the greatest players and won a tremendous amount of rings and became a Hall of Famer like Michael Jordan. And so even in sports, the shadowing works. And you have to remember what Pablo Picasso said in the early 1900s. He said, good artists copy, great artists steal. The process of you shadowing somebody who knows how to do something is the process of stealing ethically in an honest way. You're not stealing in a sneaky way because they know you're learning from them because they're taking you under their wing. So you want to make more money? Go find somebody making more money than you and shadow under them. Apprentice under them. Let them mentor you day by day in the trenches, day to day. Watch them do the mundane thing like paying the bills. Watch how they hire, they fire. Watch their body language, how they negotiate deals. Watch how they come up with ideas. Watch how they creatively brainstorm. Look how they sell. Look how they have learned to toughen their emotions. And if you do it long enough, it starts to rub off on you. I recommend ideally at least 18 months. It doesn't always have to be 18 months with one person, but to really get the effect of it, you know, it's going to take a while. College takes 4 to 12 years, depending if you get a graduate degree. You can shadow somebody. You could still be making money on your own PS along the way. I did. I had my own businesses when I was with Joel Salatin, when I was at the Amish. I had my own businesses when I was shadowing under a guy that I learned the nightclub business from named Greg Dent. I was in Giorgio Metaxas. It's not like, that's one thing that sucks about college. It's so time consuming that you actually not only spend money, but you lose 4 years of your income. If you do it right, you can make money while you shadow these people. Sometimes they'll pay you. And don't worry if they're paying you a ton. That's not the point. You got to earn your stripes. You got to put in sweat equity in the process of studying, shadowing. This is the future. I predict it will slowly but surely replace or significantly put a dent in the amount of people going through the formal education that came out of World War II, the structured, not so efficient anymore college system. Some people would and will and should continue to go to college, don't get me wrong, but it will not become a one-size-fits-all like it is now. People will follow many paths, and many paths can be followed simultaneously. In fact, I don't know why people who really want to go to college and feel it's the right path, why don't you go to college but not graduate in 4 years? Why not graduate in 5 years, 6 years, 8 years, 12 years? More enjoyable, go slower to college. You can do other stuff. You don't get in as much debt. You have time to work or shadow someone else. And you actually absorb more because you're not just cramming your brain full of memorization to pass tests because you're overwhelmed. Anyway, signing off. That's my long answer to this person's question who asked me, you know, Ash Tucky, who asked this question. And I don't know if she's listening, but I hope that helped you. Good luck out there. Stay strong.
Hi, I'm Arusha Pieris, host of a new podcast called Investing with IBD. Here are a few snippets from the conversations that we're having. Facebook, you know, it's coming back. I was really treating it as a counter trend kind of stock. You have these really fast moving stocks. You want to have a little bit slower moving stocks, yeah, also definitely, in your portfolio.
What Bill observed after sitting through many market corrections is that the market will come down, but you need to wait a few days and see if there's going to be continued power. And that's where he came up with the follow-through day concept.
One of the most interesting things is, you know, utilities have actually been very, very strong over the last 52 weeks. The work that we've done on yield curve inversion suggests that after the yield curve inverts, over the next year, utility performance is actually not that good.
Come join the conversation on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.